Let me just check my emails while I'm here. Hello, hello. Okay. By hook or by crook, we're going to have this recorded one way or the other. Does anyone need a handout here for today? If you need one, came in the bulletin. If you need one, please raise your hand. We'll make sure you get one. Wow, all 40 of you have got a handout. Excellent. You know, before we get started, it was remiss of me not to pray for Dora. Let's do that. You all don't mind praying one more time, do you? Let's pray. Lord, we lift up our sister here. We pray you do a great work in her right now. We pray you would heal her body from this kidney stone that she is suffering with. We pray you deliver her from this, heal her from this. We pray that it would either pass and she'd not know it, or you would just obliterate the thing to smithereens, heal her body, and restore Dora back to health. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen and amen. Sorry I missed you before. We're going to pray for that. So, all right, for those joining on Facebook, grab your Bibles. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2. Sorry, Luann, you got to suffer through another one of my sermons. No, thank you, Luann. Starting chapter 2 here this morning, we're in the book of 1 Peter. I love these basically three books written by Peter. First and Second Peter. Who knows the third book that Peter ultimately wrote? The Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark came about through Peter telling him. It's probably why that's my favorite gospel, Mark. Now from chapter 1, we've learned that Peter wrote this letter to encourage the Christians to remain strong in the face of persecution. He gave them a lot of commandments and promises. Right off the bat, he told us that we were begotten again to a living hope. That is, there's more to life than just this. We know that after we die and leave this world, we will have eternal life according to the promise of the Son of God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Also, he promised us an inheritance that is tax-free, that is incorruptible, and that'll never fade away in the heavenly sun. He told us that we're kept or guarded by the very power of God. Then his commandments that he gave us. Let's see how we're doing on these. Just three. Be holy, for I am holy. Yes, how are we doing with that one? Working on it. Holy just means to be set apart. It means to be not going in the same direction the world is going. The world's going this way. Jesus and his church are going the other way. That's what the word means. Set apart. Going in the opposite direction. Not drinking the Kool-Aid. Be sober-minded. Yes? There we got three. Thank you, Conrad. Lastly, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Giovanni's got that one down. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Jesus told us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I think we're doing pretty good on that list. Now let's pick it up here in verse 1 of chapter 2, and let's see where the Apostle Peter is going to lead us today. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, laying aside, well, I like the NIV reads, it says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. All right, what does malice mean? Malice is funny. It's a word I used to use as a kid. The word caca means bad, right? No bad coming out of your mouth. Caca language, remember that? It's a real Greek word. So what's he saying? There's five things he commanded us there. Number one, stop doing bad things. Number two, stop deceiving people. Number three, don't be a hypocrite. Number four, don't lust after your neighbor's things. And number five, don't speak evil about people. How are you guys doing on those? Working on it again. Stop doing bad things. No one here does bad things. All right. You're all one for one. Let's see if we can get to 1,000. Stop doing bad things. Stop deceiving people. How many people here deceive people? And if you raise your hand, we're going into my office after this service. All right, other than less. No, I'm only kidding. Don't be a hypocrite. A hypocrite is hypocrite is the Greek word. It was a Greek actor who had a face on a stick, and he would put the face in front of his real face. It was a play actor. That's someone who told you not to do something, and then when no one was looking, he went out and did the very same thing. Hypocrite. Hey, you're all three for three. Number four, don't lust after your neighbor's things. See, Captain Jim, you don't want your neighbor's boat, right? That's not fair. He's a boat captain. I didn't expect that. And the last one, don't speak evil about people. Okay. Again, verse 1, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. All right, anytime we start a new chapter with the word therefore, we have to find out what it's there for. So let's look at the end of chapter 1 to ascertain that. The end of chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 25, it says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Therefore. That is, since the word of the Lord endures forever. And it does, too, by the way. You know, I just read the other day that they found two more scrolls in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Did you hear about that? They found the books of Nahum and Zechariah, two prophets, Old Testament prophets from 500 B.C. But did you know that one or two of the manuscripts they found in the book of Isaiah, they're 100% accurate. That is, manuscripts they found in a dusty old cave, down to the last jot and tittle and dotting of an I, were exactly the same as what we have and what we believe and what we have received as the Word of God. Because of this promise, which we just read here. Think about it. Well, the word of the Lord endures forever. 2,000 years later, you and I have the word of God right here. God's instructions to you and I. Psalm 12, verse 6 says this, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You will keep them, O Lord. You will preserve them from this generation forever. God has guaranteed that the Bible, his word for us, will survive until he returns. Praise God. All right, now back to the top. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the world, of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. All right, so Peter's saying here, stop living like you used to. You heard the list that I just read to you, but rather feast on this, he's saying, the Bible, which will help you to overcome and to grow and to be a new person. If you digest the word of God, he says here, to desire, or if you digest the word of God, here to desire the pure milk of the word, as he says, so that you would grow. So if you're not feasting and desiring the word of God, then you're not going to grow. Reminds me of something from growing up in Jersey. It was called Pop Warner football. Are you guys from Jersey as well? You remember what Pop Warner football was? It was a football league you played in if you were serious about playing high school or college football. And for the little tykes, they had what they called the Pee Wee League. Even so it is with Christians. You have, amongst Christians, you have what I will call the PCL. That's the Professional Christian League. And you have amongst Christians the Pee Wee League. Hebrews 5:12 puts it this way. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. You see, there's a progression here. You start with milk, and then when you get teeth, you're ready to move on to something better than milk. Porterhouse steak, I like to say. But these guys, they were still on milk. That's why he's admonished. That's why Peter seems like they seem to be contradicting. One is for a new believer. The one is for how you ought to be after walking with the Lord for a while. He says, you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, and he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those that are full age. That is, those who by reasons of use have their senses exercised, Greek word gymnos, to discern both good and evil. You feast on the word gymnos. This is where we do our exercising as Christians. It's in the word of God. Those who by reasons of use have their senses exercised, that is to spot good from evil, to recognize, comes through spending time in the Word of God. So with that in mind, let me say there's two types of Christians in this world. There's those who digest the Word of God and grow as a Christian, as Peter put it, from milk to porterhouse steaks, as I'll put it. And then there are peewee Christians. A peewee Christian is a Christian who never reads the Bible or never studies the Bible, be it at church or at home. Do you read the Bible? Are you a professional Christian or are you in the peewee league? Now, I'm not talking to new believers here, because new believers will grow faster than all adults put together or a professional Christian. New believers grow like a regular baby does. I mean, how long do you think his shoes are going to last? Not very long, but are you guys still wearing the same shoes? New believers, no, we're not even talking about. They grow by leaps and bounds, new believers. And so it is, or so it will be, if you spend time in the Word of God so that you will grow thereby. Look, this book, the Bible, is a prize, it's a jewel. I call it tomorrow's newspaper delivered today. It's like going to the track with tomorrow's newspaper. You know the results of every race. If you think that's cool, just stay out of the obituaries because you might find your name in tomorrow's newspaper right next to the Derby winner. But as a professional Christian, seeing your name in the obituaries won't deter you. Because by feasting on the word of God, you have learned that to die is gain. And to be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. And you've learned that if God is for me, who can be against me? You see, having this knowledge is growing thereby. It's how you get through trials. It's what Peter was encouraging the Christians to possess and how to possess it in order to persevere under severe trials. Okay, now let's move on to Peter's teaching here about Jesus. Let's pick it up again in verses 2, 3, and 4. keep saying that. You don't want the milk of this word, of the world. That'll poison you in a heartbeat. Desire the pure milk of the word so that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted, notice the play on words there. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. All right, so Peter calls Jesus the rock, the living rock, or a stone. Rejected by people, nevertheless chosen by God. So let's consider that analogy here, Jesus Christ, the stone. Verses 7 and 8, it says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Isn't that the truth? All the world is offended. And the Lord says in another place, he said, have you never read in the Bible that the stones which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you, that is the Jews, and it will be given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. Now listen to what he says. He said, on whoever falls on this stone, remember, he is the stone. Whoever falls on this stone will be broken. But on whomever it falls, it'll grind him to powder. So the Apostle Peter presents to us Jesus Christ, the living stone. That is, he always lives to make intercession for us. Chosen by God. And precious. And as the Lord himself taught, there's only two responses possible when you run into the stone. There's only two responses possible when you run into the stone. Whoever falls on the stone will be broken. Is that you this morning? That's everyone in this church, matter of fact, at some point in your lives. Where you go about your daily business and then all of a sudden, wham, you're confronted with the stone. It's happened to everyone. I mean, here you are, you're sitting at home, you're minding your own business, and you hear Billy Graham on the TV, or you read it somewhere, and you hear someone say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. All right, the baby's gone. Wham! What are you going to do? You've just fallen over the stone. Maybe you don't believe that. Maybe you believe like what you hear on TV. Oh, there's many ways to get to God. But you hear Billy Graham or you hear me say it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God the Father except by me. That's a punch in the stomach from the rock. The rock has broken you. Or this, I am the door, Jesus said. If anyone enters in by me, he will be saved. Or this, he who does not believe is condemned already. He who does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Uh-oh, what a conundrum we have here. You're already condemned for something that you did not do. You're condemned already because you did not believe in the name of the Son of God. You see, that's the stone that Jesus is talking about that everyone runs into. You're walking down the road and there right in the middle of your path comes the stone. It's the living stone. It's the Son of God. He's right in your way.
You cannot walk around him. You have to deal with the stone that's right in front of you.
What do you do with the stone?
We're all confronted with it.
What do you do with the stone? Whoever falls on this stone will be broken. To be broken is to realize that you're not good enough, that you don't have what it takes to gain entry into the kingdom of God, and that you need help to get in. Enter the stone. For he says this morning, if you confess me before men, then I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. How cool is that? He's the stone. All you have to do is admit that you can't make it in on yourself, and you need help. You need a Savior. You need someone to help you, because the stone's in your path, and you've got to deal with it. No matter, and some people will give you drugs to help to deal with it. A lot of people will. Numb the pain. But you might not be able to see it, but the stone is still there in front of you, and you still got to deal with it at some point in your life. Whoever falls on this stone will be broken. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. And he says this, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he says this, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Salvation is that simple. The alternative is this. Starts with the word but. Now, this is not my words. I'm reading to you the Bible. But on whomever it falls, that is the stone. On whomever it falls, it'll grind him to powder. You see, the Jews were faced with this very same struggle back when Jesus was alive. Those that were around to hear these very things. Listen to what happened to them. If you'd like to turn with me, you can. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. Righteousness, have attained to righteousness. Now, when the Bible calls you righteous, it's to be in the position where God, it's a legal word, where God has officially, with his own gavel, slammed it down and has considered you not guilty, forgiven, right with me, peace with God, that when you die and leave this world, you go up and you don't go down. That's what it means to be righteous or justified. So, and the Jews, this was all that they did. This was their whole life, was trying to be right with God. And they tried to be right with God by keeping rules. By keeping rules. That's what we're about to read here. So what shall we say to these things? That Gentiles, that's you and me, all of us that aren't Jewish, all of us that aren't Jews, Gentiles, who did not pursue righteousness, they have attained it. Even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Uh-oh, there's that stone again. They stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion, that's Jerusalem, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, and a rock of offense. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the Jews tried to get into heaven by just being a good person and by keeping rules. But along the way, some of them learn that no one is good. No, not one. And they learned no one is able to keep all the rules. No one. Only Jesus is the only one, because he was born without a sin nature. He wasn't like you and I. God was his father. He didn't have a sin nature. Now along comes Jesus Christ, the rock of salvation, and the stone trip over him and be broken. Have him fall on you by your rejection of him, and he'll grind you to powder. What's your decision?
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Our lives, our hearts, our hands. We're reaching out to see you move again. We can hardly wait. Come flood this place. We're ready now. It's all about to change. Let your kingdom come.